time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
All right, as we get up, we're going to hang on. So, Ray's here. David's here. Can you guys all hear okay? Is this working for us? Don't make fun of my purple glasses. I got them through the mail for, they're a buck a piece, I think. Is there okay without any feedback or anything for everybody else? All right, great show. Hey, listen, Chad Estes made me really paranoid yesterday. You know, we all have mannerisms. He says I touch my face all the time. So today I am not touching my face, not one time, just to prove to Estes that I can do it without touching my face. All right. Hey, Sean, while we're getting ready here, pull up my personal Facebook page if you could real quickly. Chad and I climbed up the cross yesterday. It's been a remarkable day. Can I tell you something? I don't say this to make anybody feel bad, anything like that. There is a synergy with the gathering of the saints that I can't explain. I just can't. If I were to throw David Hawkins here right now, I can tell you, he would tell you that in the last 24 hours that he's been here, maybe a little bit longer than that, he's been invigorated. Ray just pulled in here this morning. Well, actually, sometime this morning, he texted me and said, your security system isn't working very good. I breached it, and he was out in front of, sitting in my driveway. And we've got about 4 campers already over here. And the fellowship of the saints, let us forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, even more as we see that day approaching. I can't tell you how critical it is. And by assembling of ourselves together, I don't mean everybody getting together in a big church of 500, 600, 700, 100 people and think we had fellowship. I'm telling you, just didn't it. It isn't it. And I got up this morning. I get up early every morning, but I was up early this morning and David Hawkins, who stayed here, sleeping in my basement, David was up. And so I didn't do a whole lot of show prep because I had a chance to have some fellowship with David that I wouldn't have a chance to do that. It was encouraging to me and it was encouraging to him. And if we would really all be honest, very few of us have that opportunity in the busyness of our lives. Or if you're watching this show, I can promise you this, you're hanging around a lot of people who don't get it. And you're trying to figure out, Lord, what is going on? Why would you wake me up like this and then leave me to out here to die? I want to touch my face right now, Chad. I want you to know I'm not going to do it. You got me. I'm aware of it. Touch them. No, I'm not. All right. So the scriptures, we have to help me say this the right way, Lord. We have to realize that there are aspects of the scriptures that maybe you don't live out every day. Maybe you don't walk out every week. Maybe just called the once in your lifetime to some scriptures. But the truth of the matter is the scripture remains faithful and true. Jesus is the truth. And so you can always find truth and resolve and whatever you need somewhere in that scripture. But then here's what you got to do. You got to do it. Paul said the things that I've taught to you and share, do. I'm not sure where that is. It's in Corinthians maybe. The things that you've heard from me, the things that you've seen me do. Do them. Do them. It's like having medicine and not taking it, right? It's like that. It's like wanting to lose weight and not exercising. You can wish it all you want. You can pray about it all you want to. But at some point in your life and in my life, faith without works is dead. You have got to move. You got to do it. You got to do it. And you know what? If every decision was easy, it wouldn't take any discernment and it wouldn't take any courage to do it, would it? If everybody could see it, If you're riding out on Buckeye Lake and it's 32 degrees, nobody has to tell you not to jump in the water. You figure that one out. You don't need the Holy Spirit on that. It's in those difficult decisions and in those quiet moments and those major decisions that you make in your life. I was Ray LeBlanc walked up here today, and I immediately flashed back in my mind. What was it, Ray? 3 years ago, 4 years ago, when our paths first crossed, and you were in that old red van.
Yeah.
You showed up at an event we had going over at Tom Gill's, and how Ray's life changed. Because he didn't know where he was going. I didn't know where he was going. Next thing I know, he's running around picking stuff up for me. Then he went and got married and quit picking stuff up for me. But that's a whole nother story, right?
I'm still picking stuff up.
Still picking stuff up for me. Still serving the Lord. I think I'm not going to. I'll bring him on here in a second. I'm not trying to. I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad about it. I got to ask you something. Your Christianity stale? Are you walking a stale Christianity? I don't think we're supposed to. And I can tell you, if you're walking a stale Christianity, it's not because of the Lord. Now, there are times maybe he puts us in dry places. And he said, boy, I'm in a dry place. Well, okay, go find some water. Go find some water. And this weekend for me is water. Now, I have to tell you, I got to whisper this. My wife's in the house. It's stressful here. Not publicly. But when Michelle and I go behind, when we get behind closed doors, right? There's tension. Just because we want everything to be so good for everybody, right? And no matter how much I try to, did anybody ever tell you, don't worry? I'm whispering, I don't want her to hear. Anybody ever tell you, don't worry about it? Don't worry about it. Can you not worry about something? Do you have the ability to be able to do that? Say, oh, well, I'm not going to worry about that. And then you worry about it all day, right? So I just would pray that those of you who we're fine here. No stress, but my wife and I are one. It's all good. But just it's tension, man, because there's going to be a lot of people that are here. And she and I both feel a responsibility for everybody who comes. Whether we don't worry about it or not. Right, Ray? Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. We do. So I just ask those of you out there who aren't able to be here, just remember us this weekend in your prayers that, you know, for safety and infiltration, pray against that, against any works, you know, what no weapon formed against us is going to prosper. Every tongue rising in judgment against us. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High abides under the shadow of the Almighty. Just pray that, you know, the Lord would have our back, which we know he does. The Holy Spirit would give us great discernment of what's going on and be with Gary Pierce and everything he has to do, and Michelle and everything she has to do, and Chad and Jody and Gary Donahoe and Bobby Lee. They're all here. We're going to have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. But we know that the enemy would like nothing better than to be able to destroy the effectiveness of what we're going on here. So just covet your prayers on that. I don't know how I got on that. Pull up the, Sheldon, if you could real quickly, pull up that video. Go to my Facebook page. I'm sorry. Let me get mine here. There you go. Okay. Scroll down there. I just posted the, yeah, Jody, I will. Jamie, this video, hey, right there, that's the one I want, Sheldon. You just went past it. Chad and I climbed the Sky High Tower last night at sunset. And now I did a Facebook Live video of it. But Chad put together this little video. It's a couple minutes long. I'm going to try. I'm going to pick this up, and then I'm going to turn this so Ray can see it as well. Go ahead and play that. Ray's here, and there's David's here, and they're listening. Go ahead and play this little video Chad made.
Hey, we're up here at Sky High here for the tactical weekend, and I'm getting ready to go up the tower, the cross tower. Stay tuned, baby.
I want you to listen to Troy Canton.
Don't feel free to hike.
Oh, still up there. Still got more to go.
Okay, how do you do this latch?
All right, we made it all the way down.
Now look at that view, baby. We're atop a sky high cross tower, the Bob Evans Tower. I'm a little out of breath.
A little.
Oh, man. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Look at this thing. It's, the light's on. It's made out of stainless steel right here. Stainless steel, so it reflects the sun. That's an amazing achievement. Bob should be really proud of everything he did on this. Amen.
That's a great video, man.
So hey, coach.
Yeah, go ahead.
Let me make a small recommendation for you on the hatch door.
All right.
Put a lock on it.
Yeah, we probably will, Joe. In fact, Bob was concerned about that because it doesn't, when you open it, it doesn't stay open. It closes. And he said, oh, we don't want that falling back on people's heads. And I said, well, you know what, Bob? I don't want people walking around falling through it either. So, yeah, Bob got up
there. The issue is wind. Bang, bang, bang. Every storm you get.
I got you.
Yeah. Lock it.
All right, man. Thanks, Joe.
All right.
So under the shadow of that cross, we're gonna be having, there's going to be a lot of people here. I haven't told you the numbers, but the numbers are pretty amazing of people that are coming. And Chad did some tactical training yesterday. We're gonna learn to shoot. We're gonna shoot guns. Learn to shoot. Why does that make us nervous? When you say to people, "Coach, what do you got going on?" But you're like, "We're shooting guns." not for the weaker. By the way, we're not shooting them at each other. Okay, we're not shooting them at anybody. We're shooting them at targets. Trying to.
Ah, you just took out all the fun.
Yeah, there's certain people we'd like to be the targets with. Oh no, I didn't say that. The devil. The devil made me say that. But so it's going to be, we set up some tents. It's going to be a great time. Let me open it up. Somebody got something to say here. So this is a flea flicker Friday. I've always got some stuff to talk about, but anybody want to jump in here real quick? Hey, listen, you still mad at me yesterday about the masks? Still mad? Here's the only point that I'm making. Because listen to this, if you can believe it. I just read this on Facebook this morning. Our local high school athletic director. Now, right in the structure of authority, where would the high school athletic director be, you suppose? I mean, how far down the chain? Say I'd have the governor, the state reps, county commissioners. I mean, he's a long way down. Isn't he?
Pretty local down.
He pretty far down that chain, isn't he? Well, I saw today that our local athletic director just issued a 10-day moratorium on sports teams getting together to work out. He did. Now, I'm thinking, where did he get that authority? Number two, did he just do that on his own? Or did some higher up order him to do that?
And if some higher up ordered him to do that, why are they making him make the announcement? If it was the superintendent who gave the order, why didn't the superintendent say we're canceling all sports? Why did the athletic director? And based on what are they canceling all sports? I'm telling you, folks, we are in the midst of like the most unbelievable coup of American history that they'll write about this for centuries if we make it through it. The manipulation of the American people going on right now. And as I said to you, if you want to wear a mask, God bless you. God bless you. You wear your mask, but masks don't work. I'm not going to go there again today. Some of you got, I got some emails. Some of you mad. Blah, 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 blah. Where, hey, damn in the Bible? Is damn in the Bible?
I know.
Wear the damn thing if you want to. Go ahead. I'm still your buddy. I'm trying to, we come here every day. I try to awaken you to what's going on around us and understand that everything that you see happening around you, my friends, has a spiritual element to it, either good or bad. The genesis of everything that's happening to us has either a good or bad author behind it. Everything does. And I'm going to tell you this. This coronavirus and the wearing of masks and the closing down of stores is not of God. That ain't a good thing. Okay? It isn't good. And the point I was making yesterday is we as children of God, as his representatives, as his ambassadors, this is not our home. We have an obligation to stand strong for truth. That's what the show yesterday about masks was all about. Not making fun of anybody who wears them. None of that. Just simply asking, why would they ask us to do something that doesn't work? That's a mic drop right there, by the way.
Nonsense.
Why would they ask us to do something that does not work?
I got Khrushchev's speech from 1959 that he read at the United Nations, Coach, if I may.
Sure.
Enlighten me a few minutes. Here we go. Khrushchev said at the United Nations meeting 60 years ago, September 29, 1959, he says, your children's children will live under communism. You Americans are so gullible. No, you won't accept communism right out, but we'll keep feeding it to you, small doses of socialism, until you will finally wake up and find you are already communism. We will not have to fight you. We will so weaken your economy until you will fall like overripe fruit into our hands. The democracy will cease to exist. You will take away from those who are willing to work and give to those who would not. I'm just telling you, brother. That was in 1959.
Yeah. You're a conspiracy theorist, Chad, or Dale. That's what's going on. So again, we're just trying to, we're forsaking not the assembling of ourselves together even more as we see that day approaching. And we believe that personal defense is going to become more and more important. It's going to be. I mean, folks, just get on the internet and Google. I'm sorry, that's Doug Hagman says Google's not a verb. Okay, get on DuckDuckGo or some other search engine and just see the out in the open street violence that's popping up. It could happen to you in a Walmart parking lot, in a Kroger parking lot. Could happen to you at a rest area. It could happen to you anywhere. You don't know. We don't know what's going on, right? And so our tactical training this weekend is to try to help people prepare for the unexpected. We were talking about prepping. And you can't prep your way to safety. You know, prepping has its own set of problems. Nobody around you has food. Who do you keep away? Who do you let in? Who don't you let in? If your brother's been out living the high life and spending all his money on foolishness and we run out of food and he comes and knocks on your door, do you let him in and eat some of the food? What about the guy down the road? He finds out that you got food and he comes. See, it's a whole new set of problems. And the idea that we are in any way, shape, or form in control of our future is foolishness. But we know from the scriptures that the wise and the foolish virgins, what did the wise virgins do? They kept their lamps trimmed. So when we're talking about prepping and tactical training and all that, we're just trying to keep our lamps trimmed. Last thing I want to do is be the last guy left. I don't want to be Noah's Ark, the only ones left up on top of the hill with guns and sitting around eating my peanuts, staying alive. Nobody wants to live like that, right? None of us do. But at the same time, if you learn and plan and prepare, You might keep yourself and your family safe for a week. Maybe a week's all the time you're going to have to buy. Maybe in a week's time, some normalcy will return. And if you just get through that initial surge, that initial
wave,
that's what, to me, that's what prepping's about. I don't have 6 months of food. I 6 months of food. Come on. I got a cat. I'll eat him. No. Right. So if I got 6 months of food, I will be the Omega man. I don't want to be the Omega man. So again, it's just common sense. I'm rambling. Somebody jump on in here. Well, Dave, where's Chad? He would normally say, just saying, Dave. See, I can do it too, Chad. I can mock people. Just saying, Dave. I'm just saying. Somebody else want to come in? Be Chad today.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
Yeah, this is Jeff. If you do the thing on verbal tactics, how to deter psychologically without maybe doing any physical?
On verbal tactics?
Yeah.
No. I mean, they're important, right? I trust the Holy Spirit on verbal tactics, really. Because verbal tactics will just lead to, it leads to physical. And from my own standpoint, I hope I'm able to control my own verbal tactics to the point that I know when to shut my mouth and when not to. I don't know. I don't know what you're referring to. Ray, you were going to say something?
Well, just to follow up on what you were talking about on preparing, when I started the same way a few years ago, I wanted to do some more prepping. I was, going to purchase some extra guns and some food, go hide out in the Missouri boot hills and hunker down. But I think the one scripture verse that's really prevalent, that's important to me, that I've noticed is the little boy with the loaves and the bread. He didn't have enough to feed 5,000 people, that's for sure, but he did supply what he could.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all you need to do, I think, is show the Lord you made an effort. I prepared myself. If you can do 3 months, 6 months, a year, whatever you can afford, just do it within your own means, and he'll take it from there.
Because you're not going to, hey, listen, none of us going to extend our lives back. We're in the Lord's hands. I never forget Russ Dizdar. I asked Russ, don't you get scared? He said, yeah, oh, yeah. He said, I'm in the Lord's hands. Right? And that is so true. That is so true. But at the same time, we're in the Lord's hands, and if something happens, he's going to scratch his, oh, I touched my face, Chad. He's going to say, well, daggone, I won't try to tell you, get some food. You didn't do it, right? So we have a responsibility in this as well. Come on in, somebody else.
Yeah. When you said that, being in the Lord's hands, that can be good or bad. Jonathan Edwards sermon on what? A sinner's in the hands of an angry God. That's not a good thing.
That's not a good thing. Yeah. No, we don't want to make him mad. I think he's probably already pretty mad. I think he probably already is. Anybody else? Come on in if you want to. Hey Sheldon, what they're doing, pull up that Bible verse. I think it's what, 1 Corinthians? Pull that thing up there.
Just want to say thank you for putting this on for those of us that can't come.
Hey,
but I'm thankful that you're going to be doing this, because the men that are there are going to go back and they are going to have their own salt and light brigades and train us that were kind of left out. So I just appreciate that, what you're doing.
Penny, God bless you, honey. Thanks. Ray's one of the guys up there in Wisconsin. Ray moved from wherever you used to live to now he's in Wisconsin and having an impact up there with what we've tried to equip him to be able to do. And ultimately, that's what it's all about for all of us. Equip the saints for the work of the ministry. That's what we're trying to do, Penny. That, I appreciate it. Appreciate you saying that. I want to give a shout. Well, I won't do that. I just bit my tongue. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I just bit my tongue on that one. So thanks, Penny. I get this up on the screen right now. I have 1 Corinthians. Mark Trump, I think it was, sent me this yesterday. I almost touched my face again, Chad. Hey, Chad, I caught myself. Just saying. Right? I'm just saying, Chad.
Just saying. Dave, you're doing good. All right.
Just saying.
Just be aware. That's all.
there's going to be something else. I'm not trying to make you feel jealous. We're gonna have a raucous great time here this weekend. 1 Corinthians 9. Let me slide my phone a little bit out of the way here. I'll put it over here a second. I'm reading off the screen much the way that you guys are. So if I'm not looking at you, I apologize. All right. Says, am I not an apostle? This is from Paul. Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are not you my work in the Lord? Now, I'm not claiming to be Paul, but I could just say what I just said, then, right? Huh? All of you that are here, all of you are here. You are my work in the Lord. I'm not claiming anything special about me. But if you've been here a while, and we've come together on this queue, and we've chewed on the issues, and we've fought, and we've all that, this is the work, man. This is the work. You got any evidence of your work? Do you have any evidence? Paul said, I'm not an apostle unto others. If I am not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you. For the seal of my apostleship is you. The fruit.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right? The fruit. What's the fruit of your life? Mine answer to them that do examine me is this. Have we not power to eat and to drink? Have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles, and as brethren of the Lord and Cephas? Or I only and Barnabas, have not we power to not be working? Time out. If you think what I do ain't work, come sit beside me. Come sit by my wife. All right, I'll get a job. You need to get a job. Who goes to warfare at any time at his own charges? Can you imagine being a soldier and they send you out, say, bring your bullets? Okay, get your own gun there, Ray. Will you bring those bullets with you? Oh, you're out of ammo? Go buy some more. We need it. No. Or who plants a vineyard and doesn't eat the fruit thereof? Or who feeds a flock and doesn't get to drink some of the milk? Say I these things as a man, or say not the law the same also? Paul said, this in my opinion. Mm-hmm. For it's written in the law of Moses, you shall not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care of the ox?
The masculine mind, ox.
Or seeth he it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth. Are you doing some plowing? Right where you live, are you doing some plowing? Well, the scripture says if you're doing some plowing, you should be plowing in hope. That he that thresheth in hope should also be a partaker of it, of this hope. If we've sown unto spiritual things, is it a great thing that we reap carnal things? If others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Here's what this is saying, folks. If you're under a man who is hoarding his power over you, that is not a good thing. He's a pastor. He ain't boss. He's a pastor. He don't own your life. All right? He should be training you to train others. He should be equipping you for the work of the saints. That's what should be going on. And he should reap the benefits of that, but not in a, what's the word, boss-slave relationship. Do you not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple? Paul's talking about how you, I'm not begging for money, relax. And they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar? Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live off of the gospel. Get a job, coach. But I have used none of these things, neither have I written these things, that it should be done so unto me. For it were better for me to die than to make any of you think I'm trying to get into your pocketbook. That's what Paul said. If you think I'm trying to get into your pocketbook, I can't do much about that. For I do this thing willingly. I have a reward, but if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. What's my reward then? Well, verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, and that I abuse not my power in the gospel. It's some good teaching right here. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain more. Think that. See, I'm not hired. It's sad, really. The pastor's not hired just to feed the sheep. The pastor's hired to teach the sheep to gain more. Isn't that what it says? Yeah. That I might gain them that... Oh, I'm sorry. Verse 20. I'm going somewhere. Stay with me. And unto the Jews, I became a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, I went under the law, that I might gain some of those that are under the law. To them that are outside the law, as without law, being not without law to God, but law under the law to Christ, that I might gain some of them. To the weak I became weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I by all means can save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker therein of you. Here's where I'm heading today. This is what Mark Trump texts me. Know you not that they which run in a race run, everybody runs. Whether you want to admit it or not, folks, you're in this race. You're in this rat race, man. You're in it. You're either running well or you're not running well. You're either 67 years old and get out of breath climbing up the tower, or you got a lot of energy and it's not, or you're sitting down at the bottom of the tower watching. But you're in this race. And this goes against modern theology. Paul said, know ye not that they which run the race all run, but one receives the prize. So run that you might win. Are we doing that? Are we running a gospel that we might win this race? Or are we just plodding along in the middle of it? And every man that striveth for mastery is temperate in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. But we have an incorruptible one. I therefore so run, not like I don't have any direction. And I so fight, not like I'm just punching the air. No. But I keep my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have been preaching to others, I don't find myself sitting in my house with a mask on. Amen. That's the word for today. Somebody come on in. Cha-ching.
Coach, what scriptures were that?
That was 1 Corinthians 9, I think, isn't it, Sheldon? 1 Corinthians 9.
Coach, we must train. We must fight. And we will win.
That's right.
But we must train. We must achieve mastery and temperament. In other words, when Jesus tore down strongholds, he did it calmly. Calmly. He spoke with authority of all the power of heaven and earth. We have that same ability, but we got to train and learn how to use it.
So, Mark, yesterday, I'm sitting at, your name was mentioned many times yesterday, Mark, as we were working up on that hill, Jeff Nell and all of them. We had every piece of equipment running. We got a flat tire and skid steer. So out of commission. Everybody was doing something, right? And I'm looking across there. While we're all working, I look up at the top of the cross, and there's Bob Evans at the top of the cross, welding at the top of the cross. You know, I thought of that, that he, his whole life, his training and equipping was to be the guy Amen. Who had the skill set to get up there and do it. None of us could have done
Amen.
It. None of us could have done it. But his whole life, he was preparing that skill set, not just for this moment, but this moment was part of what his skill set was about. And that he was the only guy that could do it. And maybe he thought he wasn't important Amen. In life, and maybe he was just out earning a living. But we went out on the boat last night at dark, and we were 5 miles out, and we could see that lighted cross. And I can't imagine what Bob Evans must have felt inside his heart when he, even though we were all in the boat and we were all having a good time, there had to be some type of satisfaction in his heart that when he looked up at that thing, he could say to himself, I did that. Because he did.
Joy. It's joy. He had fruit of the Spirit, even if he didn't let it out.
That's right, man.
Amen.
And so we gave his whole life training to be equipped to be the guy to know how to do that. The opportunity came. He stepped into that opportunity. And if Bob lives to be 100, or if he dies tomorrow, there's a remembrance of what he did. It's there, man.
Praise God. Amen.
I'm telling you. And if we would all learn to develop our skills like that, or get the confidence to operate in our skill set like that. You know, Gary Donahoe's here, and he's all pumped up about doing his communication training tonight, tomorrow, whenever it is. And Chad's setting up his targets, and David Hawkins is here, and he's driving a new piece of equipment. And Jeff Nell was on a piece of equipment. Everywhere you look, people were cleaning, but. And you could just feel this synergy like the old Amish when they did a barn raising. You guys remember that barn raising? We used to laugh.
Amen.
They would all come together and they would help their neighbor put his barn up. And they didn't expect anything other than to know that if their barn needed raised, everybody would come and raise their barn as well. And it's just a real power and a spirit in that. That it's just hard to duplicate. It's hard to duplicate. I'll shut up. Come on in.
I was just going to say, remember when we drove past it and you were saying, what do you think? It was all grown up.
Oh.
And then you announced it. You said, this is ours. This is our place. This is a place for you, talking to the Q and all the men and families in God's family here. And now they're there helping. It's just amazing, Coach. It's amazing.
Well, Mark, I said this. And again, folks, just pardon us here a second, because this is all really, really important to what we're talking about here today. The closest I ever came to a divorce, not really, was when I made the decision to buy that property, because my wife, who loves me more than I could ever explain, she looked at that property and she said, you can't do that. That ain't your skill set. And she was grieved, because she knew I was taking on a project that was not in my wheelhouse. And what happens? Mark Trump shows up with his skill set. Joseph Allen shows up with his skill set. And Randy sends us a skid steer. And Ryan Dunkett shows up with his skill set. And Richard Rapp shows up with his skill set.
Amen.
And Dale Socha shows up with, Coach, his skill set.
It's amazing. It's amazing. And the people in this queue you're talking to said, Mark, it's only for a season. You know, you'll be back to work. It's a season. Look, guys, I got a season in up there.
Yeah.
Where's your season? Enjoy it. It's God's place.
It's and fun,
I'm
man.
Just so thankful that he opened my schedule up so that I could be a part of that for a little while, Coach. And I will be a part of that. You know that, but not the same. Yeah. Now you got Bob for a season. Now you
right,
got
Bob.
Everyone else for a season. Yeah.
Bob's turning to bat, right? Jeff Nell from Fallon, Nevada yesterday was on Bob's mower, that whatever that Steinem thing. He was out there mowing the field. He has
Praise
now
God.
Invested. Folks, do you see it? Do you see the investment, the ownership that it gives you? You say, well, I don't own that. Well, yes, you do. Yes, you do. Randy, I don't even know if Randy's in here today. I every time I get a chance, I thank Randy for sending me the skid steer, which has been here for over a year. His skid steer. And every time I talk to Randy, he says, Coach, that belongs to the kingdom. Man, what a mindset that is, huh? What a mindset that is. And David Hawkins comes out yesterday from Texas, and he knows how to drive a skid steer, and he's on Randy's skid steer. So as David Hawkins is behind the controls, Randy's gift is still giving. Do you guys, can't you see it? Randy can't sit on that skid steer. He's in Oklahoma. Now Randy could say, send that thing back here. You've used it too much. I'm going to sit it here in our garage and let it rot. No, he said, use it. Use it. And so Hawkins shows up and he knows how to use it. Except he gets a flat tire. Just kidding.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I was just thinking about this last couple of days. I've got a couple of projects around the house that I have people helping me with without charge. One of them is a prepper related, and another one is related to putting some ramps in so I can get my father out of the house more easily. Mm. And they're doing this, you know, out of their own goodwill. And I was thinking how in my previous church, if I had approached anybody about these things, especially with the issue with the ramps, I would have been told, well, something like this. Well, I know a contractor who did some work for my neighbor, blah, 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 blah.
Yep, yep, yep. And he does cheap, and he does a good job. And yep, I'm with you, man. I'm with you. I'm with you. And it's not – you say, Coach, that's easy for you to say. You're getting all the free labor. Well, that's true. If you think it's for me, don't come. If you're doing it for me, please stay home, man. Please stay home. But if you do it as unto the Lord, and if you could get a feel for that beautiful cross, we're out Buckeye Lake, 5 miles out, still able to see it. I'm telling you, man, invest. Find something and invest into it, whatever that might be. Take some ownership in it. I'm looking at my list of things to go over today, and I don't want to talk about any of these things. None of them. So it's true.
That's okay, Coach. You enjoy this moment because God is blessing you for your obedience. He's blessing us all for your obedience.
That's right. Amen. Amen. And who would have ever thought that I've encountered it up, Mark, but we have people here from Nevada. We have them coming from Oregon. We have them coming from Minnesota. We have them coming from Alabama. We have them coming from Wisconsin. We have them coming from New York State. We have them coming from North Carolina and South Carolina and Tennessee. I mean, it is amazing. It's just absolutely amazing. And if I were to do one of these tactical trainings every weekend, I'm just telling you. But it's not even about that. It's about the fellowship. People want to assemble themselves together even more as they see that day approaching. And what's the
amen?
What's the exact message we're getting? We're getting the exact opposite message. And when people leave here, they're going to say, man, that was a weekend. That was a weekend. They're going to say, I came hoping to get something, and I had the opportunity to serve. That's what I'm thinking.
Absolutely, because tactical training can be done in any one of those states. They could go to any kind of a shooting range. There'd be a guy there that would teach them everything that Chad and them are going to teach. But brother, it is about, there's something unique when the body of Christ comes together in such like manner, such likeness, same mind, same spirit, brother. That's in what you do, brother. See, you're investing in people. Because people are worth investing in.
Amen.
That's where the kingdom of God is at. Yep.
That's all matters, man. People's all matters, right? And again, remember, folks, the scripture says that we are to equip the saints. Can you finish that, Ray?
Yes, I would like to finish that because to equip the saints, because that's exactly why I am here. When I left Wisconsin, there's a group of us meeting every week, and they're hungry. They wanted to come here and be a part of this, but they can't. But I'm the representative for my little group back there. I got about a dozen people. I know I can get about 20, 30 people to show up. They're excited about wanting to learn what I'm going to learn. They want to learn about the ham radios. They want to learn about survival stuff. So I'm going to take this back, and I'm not just feeding myself here with fellowship and going back home and saying, I'm full. That was good. I'm going to invest it now to everybody that wants to be there. We already got plans made to rent a park, and there's a gun range right by there. And I'm going to try to get maybe Jason Storms down in Milwaukee. He's the closest one by that's equipped in that realm as well. And so that's what we need to do when we leave here. Take what you learned and keep the fires going. Right?
Amen. Yeah. Equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, that was it. I was just going to say that all of this is to
Chad.
all of this is be able to take back and equip other people from what you gleaned from each of the gifts that are being offered here. You glean from that and you take it home, and then you use that to expand the kingdom, and use it to help other people to do the same thing. And it's a part of discipleship that, you know, that we're called to do. So, you know, that's what I see is going to be the best part about what we take from this weekend.
Amen. Awesome. Amen. So Chad's coming. Listen, folks, I'm still here.
Hey, buddy.
I remember years ago, let me pull this, but I'll get Chad back in here a second. I remember the contagious Christianity movement. Remember that? Oh, I want to be a contagious Christian, right? This is contagious Christianity, man. When you leave here, you got more than the coronavirus. You got you. If they would do a DNA test on you at the conclusion of one of these events, you're going to test positive. You're going to test positive for the gospel. I'm telling you that, right? And too many of you are quarantined. That's a good word. Too many of you are quarantined.
Quarantine yourself.
And I quarantine yourself. And I want us to be contagious, because I'm telling you, the world is full of people who wonder what in the hell is going on. They want to know what's going on.
You just say hell, Dave.
I did say hell because it's in the Bible.
Yeah, say hell is actually a location. It's not actually a term. So.
All right.
So what's on your mind?
Hey, Coach.
Just saying. Chad's just saying.
Hey, I want to also put a shout out to my boy Josh Manna. Couldn't make it. I know he is another one like the Wisconsin people that would like to be here, would love to be here, would be a great contributor to be here. Just wasn't able to. People got we understand. Look, you got to make ends meet. We realize that. So,
for those, listen, Chad's not here without an investment, folks. He brought targets. It cost him something to get here, right? Listen, I'm just telling you. I want to be able to pay him some money when he leaves here. I don't want this all to be on his expense. So if you can't come, you can help me pay Chad's way. Okay? Go ahead, Chad.
All right. Well, I'm trying to say here.
I haven't done that once today.
Hey, Dave.
We're just picking up quirks, that's all. But I want to say also, the objective is on this weekend is for us to, move. The time for moving a notch.
Quit talking with your hands, Chad.
Is over. Okay? And we're running out of time. If you believe anything about November, if you believe anything about the stuff coming in September, that I don't know how many times. So I got sent that Dana, whatever, Coverstone or whatever his name is, video. I don't know. I think like 8 times somebody sent it. And I appreciate that someone was thinking about me to get it. Okay? But what I need to do is make application for that.
But you've been saying that for a year and a half that it's coming, right?
And so, we have to make application of it. We need to realize, look, the time is short. Yes, Chad, it's been short for a long time. Oh, okay.
We're just passing.
But really, it is now. Really short. It's really short now. Okay. No, but this time I mean it. You know? Okay. But look, you just look around here, and it doesn't matter about the BLM. It doesn't matter about any of these other groups. Any crime can happen to you at any time. A home invasion has happened throughout history. Okay. Carjacking has happened throughout history. All of these things are happening, and we don't want you to be a victim. We don't want you to be a victim. So what we're trying to do is give you some techniques, things.
None of us want to be the Omega Man. You don't want to be the last guy standing, right? Nobody wants to do that.
I mean, there's nobody to talk to. So, I mean, that's the main thing. So, I mean, why would you have a show if you're the last person in here anyways, you know? So, anyways. So, all we want to do is try to move you a few 5 notches. That's what we want to try to do. Make it 5 notches. If you don't know anything, then you know something when you leave. And to be comfortable with it and have some confidence. See, there's a difference between an arrogance and a confidence. Okay, what I find is a lot of people have a pistol. And they know a pistol. They know it's a pistol. They know how the pistol works, but they can't work the pistol. They can't work the rifle.
So they can't teach their children to work
it either. They don't know how to do it. They don't know the safety on it. You need to know how to hold it, keep it in the safe direction, all these kind of things at all times. If you have a malfunction on it, you know, if it worked, any equipment at some point will break down. Okay, your car, you buy brand new. At some point, you're going to have a flat. The radiator belt's going to come off of it or whatever, any of those kind of things. So,
develop a mindset.
That's right. So, you know, we just need to be ready. You need to be turning that gear on because the criminal element is already up here. And when there's lawlessness, they're just going to go into action.
When lawlessness abounds, the love of many will wax cold, brothers. That's where we are. That's where we are. Did I acknowledge Joe Allen and all the work he did up? Did I acknowledge you, Joe? You know, when you start mentioning people, you forget people. And I hope I acknowledged you and all the time and effort that you gave up here. So if I didn't, I apologize for that because you certainly have an investment here. Yeah, Roger. Roger, listen. I've shown Chad that Weaver Pavilion yesterday. He thinks that's going to be beautiful.
Yeah, man.
I wanted you to know that Larry's about 10 minutes out. Larry's about 10 minutes out, and he told me on the phone he's coming to kick your ass.
I got a cop here to protect me, right?
And he's bringing you a mask.
Larry can't kick my ass because he's wearing a mask.
That's right.
Isn't that part of the hand-to-hand training y'all going to have up there, right?
Yeah. That's right. Well, if Larry comes here, I'm going to pull his mask up over his eyes. He'll be hurting.
Well, hey, Coach.
You better get to him before the weekend's over.
It's all good, man. It's all good. Say, Coach, you well,
coach. Hey, Coach.
I can't listen to you anymore. You're so harsh with your language.
Hey, Coach, Larry's making food. You might want to be careful about that. Yeah. You might need a cup bearer.
That's true. I got my wife in here. She's making food, too, so it's all good. We got 9 minutes, and we've done all the rambling here. Somebody.
Okay, my turn.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Coach.
Go ahead, Joe.
Is there going to be any kind of live coverage of this?
We'll try to Facebook what we can. Paul Webb's finally waking up here. Huh?
Okay.
Paul Webb, he come running cool. out. We woke him up. We'll try to.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, we'll do some live. You mean actually stream everything that's going on, Joe? We're not going to do all that. I understand that. Yeah, but there'll be. Yeah, we'll have. There's Paul. You guys wonder what Paul looks like? There he is, all the way from Oklahoma.
Did Jeffrey bring his gear? Because Jeffrey could just walk around with his gear all day. And then we could edit that.
Well, there you go.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, he brought some gear. Yes, he did. So.
Yeah. Don't interrupt his training and let him have every good time he can have. But if you got a couple people that could just walk around with their GoPros, I mean, that'll turn into amazing, amazing footage.
Well, what's his name? Jeff is going to the abortion clinic with Mike Blake this morning, so he won't be available until this afternoon.
I see.
It's all good, right? It's all good. What do you think, Paul? Say hi to everybody.
Hello, everybody.
Why are you here, Paul? Tell them, whatever, man. Say something.
Hey, Paul.
Hey, how you doing, Mark? It's been great.
Good.
Took him out on the boat last night.
Saw the cross.
Rocked him to sleep on those waves going back and forth, man.
Good man, Coach. Good man.
Yep. Yeah. And Paul's, hey, Vinny, something about all those black guys, they're city guys, you know, they can't do anything. So we got Paul on a tractor yesterday for the first time and kind of scared him off of it, if you know what I'm talking about.
He loved it.
I said to Paul, I thought all those black guys were slave guys. They didn't do all this hard work. He said, no, I'm a city boy. Is that you, Vinny? Are you one of those city boys? Wait a minute, I can't even say that. One of those city men?
City boys.
Oh my goodness, we're gonna have a great time.
Coach, I want to spurn the people on that are not there, and this is it. No matter where you're at, you make a mess, so you might as well make an impact wherever you're at. Also, whatever you're doing, as it says in Colossians, do it as if you're doing it unto the Lord, not unto man. Yep. Whatever we're doing should be about gospel. It should be. So in other words, to me, if you're going to a smaller church would work better, you need to go to your pastor and say, hey, can we have a men's gathering? You know, most men's gatherings are a little breakfast and bacon and eggs. No, a men's gathering where we can go to a gun range or somebody has property to go shooting on. It is the best bonding of men.
Amen.
For men is to do exactly that.
So Dale Polly just put it in the text over here that somebody just donated online for ammo. Hey, rest of you. Help us out. Go to CoachDaveLive.com. Buy us some ammo. $25 buys a box. That's about right, isn't it? Buys us a box of ammo. We're going to shoot it all up this weekend, okay? So if you want to be part of it, buy us some ammo. Go to CoachDaveLive.com. Hey. Donate and buy us some ammo.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Coach, I want to make a quick comment. Everybody can participate in this if they're obedient.
Yeah.
Coach, I can participate in this because even though I'm not there, I'm not assembled, I am in spirit. I am, because I'm obedient to God. I'm obedient to the Holy Spirit. Coach, God, he wants us to obey rather than duty, than sacrifice, than just then gripe. Well, I got to do this. No. When you really assemble, it's obedience is the motive. That's what's underlying our heart. Obedience. Coach, we all participate in this. I get to learn from Chad. Paul's going to come back home. He's going to tell me what he learned. I get that fruit from him. Coach, I'm not there. I can't be there. And a lot of us want to be there and can't be there. But guess what? We get to participate with what God is doing right there because you guys assembled and because we're obedient.
Well, Randy, it's happening because
of, that's the body of Christ.
Yeah, because of your skid steer, this whole thing's happening. So, you, of course, you're here, right?
Coach, one act of obedience, your act led to mine, and mine led to Mark's, Roger's led to somebody's, all led to someone else's, Coach. It's like contagious. Yeah. That's contagious Christianity, Coach, right there.
Contagious Christianity. And I got it from somebody else, didn't it? I gave it to somebody else.
When you got skin in the game, eventually you make a body, right? Get some skin in the game. Let's make this body move.
Yeah. Hey, if you believe you're a spirit being, to continue what Randy's saying, are you a fleshly being or did it die on the cross? Mm. If you're a spirit being, where are we? We're with each other. Yeah. If you're spirit beings, you already are together. But your mind has to get there. Your mind has to separate your flesh from us supporting Coach in the spirit, which we are right now, no matter where we are.
Amen. Amen. Right? One body, many members, man. It's a powerful thing.
Just like it says in Ezekiel 37, when he was in that valley with the stacks of bones.
Uh-huh.
We've all had the sinew and the flesh put on us.
Yes, sir. Can these dry bones live? I say they can, brothers.
I've had the breath because of my brothers on this queue. I'm telling you, the guys that done. I'm doing things so far outside of my wheelhouse. I'm being put in front of principalities and powers and rulers of this world.
Praise
and I am
God.
Getting words. I'm getting Praise words. God. That are beyond who I am.
Amen.
Amen.
Isn't that awesome? The Bible says you'll be brought before governors and kings, right? As a testimony against them and the Gentiles, and think not what you shall speak, for it shall be given unto you that same hour what you shall speak, for it's not you that speaks, but your Father speaks through you. Is that something? A vessel? Go ahead, Neil.
Amen. And that's what I just want to encourage Kevin, brother, as in the word of Moses, go before them, high priest and pharaohs, and tell them, let my people go.
Amen. Oh, amen. 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 And if they don't let them go, we're training people in guns here. All right? If the Lord's asleep and doesn't wake up and move and do what he's supposed to do, we're going to be ready to help him here in case he needs our assistance. So we're looking forward to a really, really, really joyous time together. That's all I can say. And again,
hey, Coach.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Hey, just as a future suggestion, hopefully we'll have another event like this, if anybody out there is familiar with martial arts or Krav Maga, that would be great to incorporate into this.
Bobby's doing a little bit this weekend, Bobby Lee is. So, when it gets right down to it, there's so many different areas we could be covering, so many different – wouldn't we love – well, yeah. What if we had a financial seminar? Not the kind they put on at your church, right? Come on, not that kind. A real training of what's going on financially in the world and how we as Christians can make the most of our finances now. Now, Randy Lunsford, I don't know what that skid steer's worth, Randy. I'm guessing $50,000. I don't know. It's been sitting up here at my property for a year. Randy, that thing is more valuable than if you just send a $50,000 check. Yeah, do you understand that? You understand it? And so it's our skills and our talents and our abilities that are the things that are most important in this battle and in this war we're raging. And if you're thinking only from a financial dollar bill mentality, boy, you're missing the bigger thing. dollar bill is just a vehicle to open doors and make these miracles happen, because these things cannot be done. Just can't, it can't be done, right? Lord's put it all into our hands. As somebody said earlier, Jeff, maybe who it was, said about the fishes and the loaves. Five loaves and a few fish, and look what happened. So we're doing some fishes and loaves up here this weekend, Sky High. Looking forward to an exciting time. Appreciate all of you that support us. Wish you could all be here, but you are, as they say, with us in spirit. Pray for us, will you? Just when this show's over, just take a few minutes and just pray for us. Safety, security, Psalm 91. Let the Lord be glorified. And we'll see you Monday morning. We'll try to live stream some of the stuff so you can stay close to the Facebook page and see what's going on. We'll do the best we can with it. Bless you. See you Monday morning.